Hello, hello, and welcome back to Generation Slay, the podcast where we interview the Gen Z creators, innovators, and entrepreneurs who are absolutely killing it in their fields. I'm your host, Emma Havakorst. I'm a chai latte addict, I'm a Taurus, and a senior at Fordham University in the business school. I have been blogging since I was 13, interning since I was 15, and doing school in the rest of my waking hours. So, yeah, I've been a little busy over here for 8 years. That's insane. And I have absolutely no doubt that you are also busy and working so hard wherever you are and whatever you are doing in your life. So I really appreciate you taking some time out of your day to listen. So guys, this is an emotional one for me. And here's why. This is our last episode of season two. And season two, you know, I loved season one. Our guests are amazing. Everything's great. But season two is the first one I did by myself. And there's just something about fully hosting, producing, editing, doing like interview outreach, marketing, social, just doing absolutely every aspect of a podcast by yourself. It just becomes your child. And, you know, I know at this point, obviously, I'm talking to you all, my wonderful, beautiful audience. But, like, the actual production and the time that I put into this podcast means so much to me just on a personal level that just looking back even at the start of this season and how much it's grown since then blows my mind. And I'm so sad that this is the end of the season, but it's really just how the timing needed to work out, how it happened. I don't know what's going on with you guys, but I have 2 weeks until spring break, and that's just what I'm holding out for, because the combination right now of midterms and my classes in general and networking and job hunting is just, it's a lot of real life for me. It's a lot of real life, and, you know, I'm looking forward to that little spring break relax time. And, you know, I have to take a little hiatus. The season is done. And, you know, I said this the last few episodes, but I'm already working, obviously, on season three. So I don't have a date for you guys yet. And I probably won't for a little while, even though I'll know what it is, just because it's, you know, more fun to tease it out a little. And, you know, I'm already reaching out to people. I already have a few interviews scheduled that'll be at the top of season three. Some people I think you guys are going to be really, really excited to hear from and hear about. But, you know, as always, I'm here for your suggestions. You guys have listened to this. You know who I'm looking for, who would be great on the podcast, and I have absolutely no doubt that your judgment is just as good or better than mine. So, I do wanna put in a little plug here. I wanna put in a little reminder. If you follow on Instagram, because the other platforms I'm on, but not as much, super active on the podcast Instagram, which is just at Generation Slay. You can literally DM me anytime, day or night, tag people you wanna be on, send me their profiles, I don't care. And, you know, personally, I really love our Instagram. It, right now, you know, during the season, it's a wonderful combination of, you know, little clips from episodes as they come out and little illustrations and motivational messages. And, you know, in reality, the curation of that is just basically me realizing one morning what I need to hear that day. And desperately finding it on one of the many very talented illustrators' accounts that I follow. and then sharing it with other people, mostly just hoping that other people are like, oh yeah, I needed this today. So I feel less alone about the fact that I needed that today as well. But I do genuinely think that, you know, the content's really good. Big fan. That's so stupid. I'm a big fan of my own account. Yeah, no shit. But obviously, if you follow over there, you can send me suggestions of who you want on the pod. You can get all these beautiful, wonderful life reminders and work motivation. And of course, that's where the sneak peeks and teases of when season 3 of the pod will be launching will be located. So if you want any of that information, make sure to pop over there and hit the little follow. Also, before you leave today, hit the subscribe button so that whenever the start of season 3 comes out, goes right into your little podcast inbox, whatever platform you use, just makes your life easier. You don't even have to think about it. So now that we've done all of that blah-de-blah blah, and it's over, let's get this thing started. So I have absolutely no doubt that you guys will just adore our last guest of the season, Haley Thomas. So Haley is 19. She's an international speaker, a wellness and compassion activist, a vegan food and lifestyle content creator, and the youngest graduate from the Institute for Integrative Nutrition as a certified integrative nutrition health coach, which she got at age 16. She's also the founder and CEO of the nonprofit HAPPY, which stands for Healthy, Active, Positive, Purposeful, and Youth. Haley founded HAPPY when she was 12, with the goal of redefining youth empowerment through holistic education and addressing the need for free and affordable plant-based nutrition and wellness education in underserved and at-risk communities. Haley has personally engaged over 80,000 people since beginning her activism in 2010. So 80,000 people in 10 years. That's 8,000 people a year. I can't even imagine addressing that many people in one calendar year. That's insane. And, you know, she was inspired to pursue this passion for health activism after her family actually successfully reversed her father's type 2 diabetes with healthy eating and lifestyle choices. And upon learning that kids were increasingly being diagnosed with conditions like diabetes, heart disease, and obesity, Haley obviously wanted to step in and do what she could to make a change. So I have no doubt you'll love this interview. I know I always learn so much from Haley when I speak to her. Her Instagram, her stories are absolutely enlightening. And she has a book coming out very, very, very soon as well, which we'll talk about a little bit. But make sure you check in the little description, check out all of Haley's stuff. I mean, I literally, her account's like so motivational. It's so positive. And I get so much foodspo. I constantly see recipes and think she's making, and I'm like, oh shit, that sounds so good. That seems like it would taste delicious. It's so much better than the bad grocery store salad I was about to make, you know? So definitely check Haley out and, you know, enjoy the interview. Hi, Haley. I'm so excited to have you on the podcast today.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited.
It's such a pleasure. To kick things off, how about you tell me and our wonderful audience a little bit about you and your background?
Sure. So the past decade now, which is like insane to even say and conceptualize, I've been a health advocate, an international speaker, and for 7 years, the CEO and founder of the HAPPY organization. And HAPPY stands for Healthy, Active, Positive, Purposeful Youth. We provide plant-based nutrition education to young people in underserved communities all over the country and even around the world. And it's been a really incredible journey these past 10 years of just not only, you know, spreading this message of empowerment through wellness and fueling our futures through, you know, how we take care of ourselves physically, mentally, emotionally, but also just growing as a person from like a child to a teen and now, you know, an official adult, I guess. So it's really been cool to, you know, be on this journey and see so much growth in all areas of my life and the work that I do.
Yeah, and I mean, as someone who follows you, it's also been wonderful to watch that growth as much as, you know, we're able to see via social media and everything. But
yeah,
you're truly so incredible and your work is so incredible. And I'd like to kind of get to the root or the start of it all with you and hear a little bit about how you initially got interested in health activism, because I know this is a really very interesting and great story.
Yes. So I've always just really loved food. I've always been a foodie. Going to food festivals with my mom was like a regular activity when I was like 8. So it was something that I've just always loved. And my parents are from the Caribbean, so they, you know, also have just really deeply rooted connection to food and to flavor and just their culture. And that's been passed down to me. And so that's always just been in my life and a big part of it. But when I was 8, my dad was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. And this diagnosis was presented to us as something that was inevitable from the doctor. He, you know, said it runs in the family. And so that's just kind of what happens. But luckily, my parents don't really take most things at face value. And so they started to do some research. And my mom really took initiative on this and started to find out that there were alternatives to the medication that the doctor was prescribing him, which had ridiculous side effects like internal bleeding and death. And that just didn't seem like an option. So we decided to go down a different path of healing through food. And so we decided to completely start to reshape our relationship with, you know, what was on our plate and learn about where it comes from and how it grows and, you know, how different foods affect us in our, when we consume them. And so that whole journey was incredible. A year of just really together as a family diving into this nutrition education and watching all the classic food documentaries and reading all the cookbooks and trying things out in the kitchen. And through that year of really being dedicated to improving our health, we were able to completely reverse his condition. And that to me was just such a powerful statement of the power of food and how also the power of community and intentional eating and eating with mindfulness and eating to make our bodies feel good. And I think really being exposed to that at an early age really fueled something in me. And I started to notice that my peers weren't really aware of any of this, and I felt that it was almost like a birthright for us to know how the things that we're eating are impacting us. So I started to feel this way, and then eventually started learning about kids being diagnosed with type 2 diabetes and heart disease and just other diet-related illnesses, and I couldn't believe the epidemic that was happening in our country, and so, and it's still happening, but I wanted to contribute to that, or contribute to, you know, an alternative to that in some way. And so that's when I started my advocacy, first working with an organization called the Alliance for a Healthier Generation that had a youth advisory board at the time. And when I joined, they had like a ton of resources for us to learn more about childhood obesity specifically and how to get involved in our communities and make an impact. And from there, I got opportunities to start speaking and sharing my story with my dad. And eventually that just became like a ripple effect into everything that I've done and am doing today. So it's been really cool to just see for myself the power of our individual stories and our individual health journeys and how important it is to continuously relate our experiences to our communities.
Yeah, your story is particularly so powerful because you did have that incredible and kind of very scary incentive to figure this all out at such a young age. And I really do just admire specifically, like your mom bringing you into this conversation, even though you were young, and sort of doing that team effort and working together to come to these like conclusions and learn more about health and healthy eating and how to really work with your body in that way. And I just wanted to say how admirable that is, because I love hearing that you were so integrated into the process and everything.
Yeah. Thank you. I mean, that's always been a really huge dynamic in our family. It has just been like everyone's an equal player and of equal importance, and having that foundation and just being so validated at an early age, I think also played a huge role in just my ability to feel comfortable in the spaces that I navigate and feel comfortable and confident in things that I have to say or feel I need to say. And so, you know, that's something that I'm ridiculously grateful for and continue to tell parents and, you know, families that, you know, it's so important for kids to feel that they are important and valid and, you know, deserve respect in many different ways. So yeah, I've always been a part of dinner table conversations, and if I'm not a part of them, I'm like sitting on the outskirts listening, and I'm allowed to do that. And so that's really been a cool thing to experience over the years.
And I'm sure that kind of active inclusion and participation and support did also help you in at 12 years old launching your nonprofit, Happy, which you mentioned earlier. I mean, as far as I know, you've engaged over 17,000 kids, which is absolutely wild. But I'd love to hear more from you about what the process was, especially at 12, of creating a nonprofit and why you made the choice to lead this initiative with Happy rather than collaborate with or volunteer for other organizations.
Yeah, I think the biggest piece of this entire process has just been vulnerability. And for me, that meant like completely sharing my ideas and just hoping that, you know, they were received well. And so I, of course, like went to my mom, and at this point when I founded Happy, I had been doing, you know, activism work and speaking for a couple years at that point. So I was starting to feel really familiar, and I think that I had to a certain extent kind of proved my passion for this type of work. And at that point I felt, you know, a little bit more comfortable with asking about it. But yeah, I asked my mom if she could help me think of some ways that we could really do some tangible work, because a lot of my early activism was like media based and, you know, more so speaking engagements, but not really like being in communities and hands-on with kids. And so we just did some brainstorming together, and that's when we figured, you know, something that would be really powerful would be peer-to-peer education and learning experiences, and, you know, seeing each other as valued voices and teachers. And you know, that could be a really cool way to spread the message. And so we came up with that idea and had no prior experience in the nonprofit space, but we're just so led by intention and kind of what we wanted to see manifest that we just figured it out. And I think that's oftentimes what holds us back, is just kind of being afraid of not knowing where we're going and not knowing how to step forward. We just started Googling stuff and watching videos and asking, you know, people in our community who had experience in that space to help us. And we had a fiscal sponsor, the YWCA of Southern Arizona, help us out. And they were such incredible, like, guides for us, and we were able to learn a lot from them and get opportunities to test programming and everything. And so it was really just leading with intention to begin with, and then everything else followed. You know, we just had to go through our growing pains and learn a lot of things through trial and error, and from there just continue to build off of that. So that was really it. And I think, you know, the reason why I didn't want to just volunteer somewhere was because I wasn't seeing that peer-to-peer learning model, and I wanted to be able to be an example to kids. Like, I'm teaching you this, but also, like, you can be the teacher as well. Like, if you're passionate about something or you want to advocate for something, like, you can absolutely be in the position that I'm in as well. And something we always try to do is just make our kids feel like they have a safe space and that they are really valued players in everything that we do. And even when we do our school tours and things like that, sometimes we'll have kids who were like sent to the principal office come and help us with video, like taking video of our program or taking photos or just helping as assistants. And so it's really nice to just have the entire experience very peer based, and that's kind of always been our goal.
All the work you do is so incredible, and obviously starting it at such a young age with such little experience in that sector is so inspiring. And you talked a lot about, you know, how important community outreach is and going to these schools, and I'd love to know a little bit more about how you and Happy as an organization finds communities and schools to serve and run programs at, and what are the some of the programs that you do run through Happy, especially in case anyone's interested in working with you.
Yeah. So originally when we started, as I stated, we had a fiscal sponsor, and so that provided kind of a built-in audience, a built-in group of kids that we could test programming on. And so for a couple of years we were just testing through like summer camps and things like that. And from there, we started getting like community connections, and this was back in Arizona. So that community is kind of built upon itself. And as people started to hear about our work and the things we do, they would start reaching out via email and things like that. Most recently, we moved to New York, and it's been interesting, like building community from scratch and connecting with so many different organizations who are doing, you know, urban farming work and who are also teaching kids cooking classes, and just trying to collaborate and really amplify the work of everyone. And that's what I've been really enjoying, is just kind of seeing these connections form. And you know, last year we kicked off a tour called our Sugar Shockers tour with the company Fruit Bliss. They make rehydrated fruits, and so basically, you know, we are going on this tour teaching kids about reading food labels and investigating them and guessing how many teaspoons of sugar are in different sugary products and snacks, and then having them make a healthy snack alternative. And so through this process, you know, we were touring schools all over New York, and we're continuing that tour this year as well. And so that has just naturally built connections. But our original roots here have really been laid because of connections with other nonprofits, and so it's really been nice to be supported in this space as well. I mean, a huge thanks to Harlem Grown for getting us started and into our first school when we first moved here, and just kind of getting to know the demographic and how kids operate here, which is very different than in Arizona. So it's been really cool to be able to establish that. But yeah, our programs are typically either school tours and visits, where we do kind of like an extracurricular pop-up activity, or it's in school programming where we're doing, you know, a several week program with the same group of students or a grade. And then we also do summer camps. But we are currently working on something really exciting called the Happy Academy, which is essentially everything we do in person, but through a virtual learning academy. So we've been developing this for a while now, and it's finally, you know, getting to a point where it's really close to launch. So we're very excited about that, because it's going to really help us reach more kids and, you know, students, schools, community centers, and just be able to increase our impact. So that is all very, very exciting, and something I'm looking forward to.
That is so exciting. Oh my gosh. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So many big things going on.
Yes.
It must be exciting. So when I was doing my little background research on you, I found this wonderful quote about you by no other than Michelle Obama. And it says, Haley is an example for all of you, what your little powerful voices can do to change the world. And obviously, I think that quote does a great job at summarizing all you've accomplished and what you really are, which is a role model for many, many people. And I would love to learn a little bit what advice you would share and give to other Gen Zers, to your peers, about, you know, harnessing their voice and their skills to make change and pursue their goals.
Yeah, I think the biggest piece that I've learned is the importance of really, really doing the work that you do through intention. And, you know, before, like a couple years ago, maybe I didn't fully understand this. But I think if anything, it's really understanding and having a clear intention of why you're doing something and how it fills you up and how it fills up your community. That is the longest lasting fuel that exists. And, you know, I think sometimes it's easy to focus on short-term goals or to be discouraged by, you know, trial and error and things like that. But if you have your intention that is super centered in something that means a lot to you, then you're able to really learn and grow from your challenges in a way that you're not really able to if you don't have that insight on why you're doing something. And I think it's easy to, especially in our culture and our society right now, to just get really caught up in every type of thing and feel very passionate about everything, but not really grounded in anything. And I think that's a big distinction of just really understanding what the core motivation is at the end of the day, regardless of what you're passionate about. If it's everything, there's always this one underlying theme that really, you know, draws you to each of those things, whether that's equality or whether that's building a better future or building a future in general, creating a planet that we can continue to live on, things like that. And so, yeah, I think if we really just pinpoint the reason why we do these certain things and why we engage in certain topics and why we want to share certain messages, then everything else will follow. And I think another big piece of that is also to just really, really prioritize self-care in this journey. I think it's so easy to become really, like, if you're a workaholic like me, I get into a certain zone where nothing else but what I'm working on matters. And I've been really working on, you know, dismantling that and filling in my time and prioritizing self-care and just making sure that I'm putting myself first so that I'm really, you know, fueling and empowering myself so that I can continue to help others on their journey of doing the same. So those two things are really important and I hope help.
Yeah, I'm sure they do. And I adore that you touched on self-care, especially for the workaholic, the person who does enjoy and love and are passionate about the work they do, because sometimes it feels like, well, why would I stop or slow down? Because mm-hmm. I love doing this.
Yeah.
And it's making a change. It's making an impact. But I love that you did touch on that because it is so, so crucial. And especially now with like hustle culture and like it being kind of cool or romanticized to be like busy all the time and tired all the time.
Yes, absolutely.
I just really appreciate you mentioning that. But before I let you go for the day, which unfortunately our time is running out very quickly, please, please let the people know where they can reach you, where they can follow you. And I believe you have a wonderful book that you can promote coming out soon as well.
Yes. So for the social media first, I guess, you can follow me and join just an amazing community on Instagram at Haley Thomas. I feel are just like a really cool group of people who love just talking about life and navigating this world and how to become our best selves and to also, you know, be of service to our communities and nourish ourselves in all ways. So yeah, on Instagram at Haley Thomas. That's really my main platform, but I'm also at Haley V. Thomas on Twitter. And in terms of my upcoming book, I am incredibly excited about this. My book is called Living Lively, and it's being published by William Morrow with HarperCollins. And this is something that's been a year in the making now. I mean, last time this year, I was just starting to write the book. And essentially, it's an empowerment cookbook that features 80 plant-based recipes to just completely nourish you and really provide an adventurous and fun journey in the kitchen. But also it features something called the 7 points of power, which are, you know, the other side of wellness. You know, I really like to think of wellness as something holistic, and that includes our relationships with ourselves and others and our mindset and the way that we view the world and the way that we engage with the world and our, you know, the people in it. And the 7 points of power highlight those very things, 7 things that really influence our lives and how we can dismantle and investigate and really dive into introspection within each of those 7 points so that we can become people that we are proud of and continue to go on this journey of self-love and doing things that we love and making an impact in the world. So yes, Living Lively is just something so, so dear to my heart, and I'm just like incredibly excited for it to be out into the world and to reach all who need it. And I think we're like 108 days away right now from the book launch, so it's coming out on May 5th. So yeah, it's a pretty, pretty exciting and just surreal time for sure.
And I must say, just from a personal level, I am absolutely loving your like book behind the scenes Instagram stuff. So anyone who's interested in that, make sure, and you're interested in the book, because obviously you are, make sure to follow on Instagram.
Yes,
of that, because it's available for so pre-order interesting too.
thank you
obviously. Yeah, I'll order it, because why wouldn't you?
No, but the process has definitely been you know, I don't know what I really thought like the whole process of making a book was, but it's kind of hush hush. I've never really heard about behind the scenes, so it's cool to be able to share, you know, all the things that it takes to put it out there after you've written the book.
It's so incredible, and I love the openness about it, and just, it feels like such a wonderful sneak peek, and it is getting me so excited to actually be able to have the book and read it.
Yay.
So
awesome. You know, that makes me happy to hear. Yay, yeah.
Well, thank you again for being on. I really, really appreciate you taking the time today. It's been wonderful.
Yeah, it's such a pleasure being on your podcast and getting to share my story and my work. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Of course. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you. You too.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Generation Slay. Since this was the last episode of season 2, I highly encourage each and every one of you to go back and listen to any past episodes, either from this season or season 1, that you haven't heard yet or may have missed. Also, you know, make sure to subscribe so that whenever season 3 comes out, you get that first episode shot directly into your little podcast inbox on whatever platform you use. And make sure to follow us on Instagram at Generation Slay to keep up to date with a little sneak peeks and teasers as to when season 3 will be coming your way. You're also obviously welcome to make any suggestions for who we should have on, because I'm always open to that, you know? Always here to meet new people, learn new things, discover new incredible people who are absolutely changing the game. And as always, please make sure to rate and review the podcast so more people see the show and can hear the wonderful insights our guests have to share. Until next season, I wish you all the best, and I hope you work hard, play hard, and rest even harder, because God knows we all need it. Happy slaying, and I will talk to you all so soon. Goodbye.